Welcome back. Christian customs and traditions. My dictionary defines a custom as a habitual practice, a way of behavior common to many.
That's right.
And then tradition is a commonly held system, a part of culture passed from generation to generation.
That's right.
That's just a little definition. Okay, and I would love to ask, we have with us a Bible teacher. You know, when we go to the Bible, 2 Thessalonians 2:15.
Okay.
Apostle Paul said something about customs there. But Gabriel, could you read that for us?
It says, 2 Thessalonians 2:15, says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by epistle.
So from that scripture, I can infer that the Christians have their own traditions also.
Sure.
That's right.
Yes, so I would love to ask, ask my pastor here, what are the Christian customs and traditions?
Well, in a nutshell, to summarize the definition of custom or tradition, I would just say it is what a people are known for.
What a people are known for. Mm.
What identifies them. You know.
Okay.
What identifies them is a practice that identifies them, that is known with them.
Okay.
And it's always distinct. You know, even if you try to replicate it, you try to imitate them, everybody will know you are imitating them. You know, that is it. Yes. So we are Christians, and we also have things that identify us.
Things we are known for.
The things we are known for. I always say that when you see an Indian,
you know,
he doesn't have to introduce himself that he's Indian.
That's right.
It's not even the color of his skin, because there are black Indians, Indians that are black.
That's right.
How do you know an Indian?
There's a dress.
That's
true. You know, from their appearance, a dress, you know. And then they also have accents.
The accents, that's right.
You know, by virtue of their language. So when they want to speak English, for instance, the way they speak English, so the way the accents,
yes,
you know, just say this Indian.
Okay.
Hausa man, you know, the way he speaks English, say this one is Hausa man.
That's right.
The Calabar person, Efik, and BP people, they know that,
you know.
Even Anambra.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay.
Even Anambra people now, and I'm not to mimic anybody here, but you know what
course.
I mean.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, they pronounce L R R L. You know,
yeah.
So when they speak, you know, this is it.
Mm.
You know, it identifies with them.
Mm-hmm.
The Western world, they have certain dresses they wear too.
That's right.
And this and that. So, yes, Christian is also a group of people that have their traditions.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that Christianity emanated from the Middle East.
That's true.
That's right.
Particularly from Israel.
Amen.
The nation of Israel.
Amen.
And the nation of Israel, you know, they are a people of God.
Mm.
I mean, when we say people of God, they are a people that God chose and made his
inheritance
on
Amen.
Earth here.
That's right.
Through his covenant with Abraham in furtherance of his agenda for redemption. So he picked the nation of Israel as his people. And then he gave them the way of life. So Israel had her traditions, had her laws, had her customs. And this one is by God himself. God designed it himself.
Amen.
And, you know, we have it that we call today the law.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You know, for everything, this is how it will be done. Everything, this is how it is done. This is done. This is done. This is done. And it stands out that even when they were in diaspora, even when they were scattered abroad, wherever they find themselves, they still practice those customs. That is why they're able to know these are Jews. You know, these are Jews. Wherever they are, they don't lose that identity.
Yes, sir.
And they are identified by their practices
Amen.
Of those traditions and those customs. And from there, Christianity came from.
Mm-hmm.
And we are also Christians, are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And we are called Christians because we are followers of Christ,
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we know that Christianity used to be a nickname.
That's right.
Yes.
Why? Because there was something unique about them.
Mm-hmm.
They were behaving like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There was something that identifies them
mm-hmm.
to be called followers of Christ. It's a way they do their own things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why were they saying so? Remember that the people that were even calling them
Christians,
they were also Jews.
That's right.
They were aware of how the Jews were behaving.
Mm.
They were also in the Middle East there.
Mm.
And so, if they said these are Christians, remember that the Jews had problem with Christ.
That's true.
Because he was introducing things that were contrary to their custom.
Mm.
And because we were not coming under a new covenant.
Amen.
And
Amen.
God himself was going to establish a church and establish his church, and there will be also a way he will be relating with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so Christians also now, like the Jews, also have our tradition. Sometimes people try to mix the Jewish tradition with the Christian tradition.
That's true.
Mm. Yeah, that is where we have some misconceptions.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And even confusion, if you let me use that word. Mm. So yes, let me not talk too much, because Christians have their tradition. But we, the Christians, we have our own tradition. That when they see us by those practices, they will say, you are a Christian.
Okay. Yes. Okay, just like you can tell an Indian from his accent and other things.
Even the Anambra man.
Okay. Okay, that's very great, sir. So since we are a kingdom, we have our way life. Of life.
Definitely.
Let me put it that
even
way.
Even Edo people. Even Yoruba.
That's true. Okay, Pastor, I'd love to ask you, sir, how relevant are these traditions to serving God?
One thing is that we serve God, who is a spirit, and we are supposed to serve him in the spirit.
Okay.
You see, where we get it, where we must get it right, is that God does not just put a law, a system, a way of doing things for doing sake. It always has a spiritual meaning. You know, it has something, or rather a spiritual implication or a spiritual meaning.
That's right.
Whatever he said do, it has an effect spiritually, or it's connected to something spiritual. You know,
true.
That is the difference between our Christian tradition and many other traditions.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me mention three traditions that Christ himself left for us. We have water baptism.
Okay.
So it is our tradition.
That's right.
That when you come to Christ, before you are accepted, you baptize.
Amen.
Then we have feet washing.
Feet washing.
We wash one another's feet.
Yes, sir.
Christ instituted it.
Amen.
Then we have the communion.
Only communion.
Yeah, so now, and then only Christians do this.
Do these three.
You know, all Christians do it. You hear, say, oh, communion. Or call it Lord's Supper.
Lord's Supper.
Or you hear feet washing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you hear water baptism. Only the Christian faith has that, because it is part of the
Christian tradition.
Christian tradition.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You notice that the water baptism, you know, is a demonstration of your, is outward or public demonstration of your faith in the works of salvation through the cross.
That's right. Amen.
Okay. The death, the burial, and the resurrection.
Hallelujah.
And then by doing that, it has, that is the process of
spiritual significance.
Yes, justification.
Justification.
Mm-hmm.
Your sins are remitted. Then when you come into the body of Christ, you know, when you come into the body of Christ, you come into a family. And right. What keeps us together is love.
Amen.
And we're supposed to watch over one another.
That's right.
So, to constantly remind us that we are together, we are of one body, and this, then we have the feet washing. I wash your feet,
Amen.
You wash my feet. Amen. Not one man, you washing the feet
okay.
of
okay. others. Like the Pope of Rome does.
No. Somebody must wash the Pope's own.
Who is holy to do that?
Okay. You understand, right?
Who is holy enough to do that?
No, because the only master we have is the Lord Jesus
himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And we all, whether you are Pope, or Archbishop, General Overseer, Reverend Doctor,
Hallelujah.
Superintendent, and whatever title you give yourself, the Lord Jesus said we are all brethren and we are to wash one another's feet.
Amen.
Okay. Then we have the when we come together like this, then we also remind ourselves what binds us in that brotherhood is the body and
Jesus.
The blood
of
the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed that brought us together.
Amen.
That is the celebration of the communion. He said, as often as we do that, we remember his death
still
when he comes.
Amen.
Now, so these are the three traditions. You can see that it all has spiritual significance.
Okay.
Amen.
Oh, thank you so much, sir.
Not just, you know, like the three ordinances the Lord, you know, left for us.
Mm. Okay. For further to that, sir, do we have more traditions or just these three?
Oh, we have.
Or
we
is
have,
it
we
for
have.
Me to say that these three are the basic?
Now, all traditions emanate from somewhere. Always, you know, in every culture,
yes, sir.
In every tradition, every custom of a people, you know, the founding, the people are born and find the people doing it. You know,
that's right.
You're born and, you know, it's something you inherit.
Yes, it's handed down from generation
to generation.
That's right. Okay.
And the first generation of the church is the apostolic generation.
Amen.
And so the first church age. So they are the ones that handed some tradition to us. Take, for instance, worshiping on the first day of the week, which is because Sunday worship.
Yes, sir.
You discover that in the Old Testament, you know, it was
the last
Saturday,
yes.
which is called Sabbath.
That's right.
But when it comes to the New Testament, there is no more Sabbath.
Amen.
And there is no more holy day.
Amen.
No day that you say is holy.
Holy again.
But the disciples worshipped not by commandment, but as a tradition, as a custom, remembering the day the Lord resurrected. And then they gather
on Sunday.
On Sunday. Now, not because Sunday is a holy day.
That's right.
And it's not the Roman Catholic Church that gave us Sunday worship.
That's right.
No. Before the Roman Catholic Church was formed in AD 320 something, the disciples were worshiping on the
Sunday.
First day of the week.
Okay.
Just that the first day of the week happened to be another Roman day dedicated to one of their hidden gods.
That's right.
But of course, till today, you know, Saturday, even it is to another god.
God, that's true.
Monday is to another god.
Right.
Tuesday is another god. They are all names of gods.
That's right.
God of this, god of that, god of that. So, now, but it's not because it is Sunday. It is because it is the first day of the week, and that is the day the Lord resurrected.
Amen.
Okay, so to commemorate that day, the disciples will come together. And when paganism and Christianity came together in that unholy marriage that took place in AD 325,
that's
we
right.
all know that history. And the state now, you know, had influence in the church.
Sure.
And so to allow the Christians to worship on a particular day, they declared that particular day a holiday. I mean, it's a holiday, not holiday, but a holiday. We have no work so that Christians can go and worship. Not a holiday, but a holiday.
So Sunday
and that's the problem
holiday.
The Sabbatarians are still not able to fix together. That they believe that the Pope has, because they talk about changing times and seasons and things like that. And so that he changed the Sabbath. Sabbath is forever. according to the law. But the word forever is not eternal.
Amen.
The word forever means it has a time it will end.
That's right.
Even if you say forever and ever and ever and ever, it's not equal to eternity.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
It's a time frame.
Amen.
And Christ ended
the Sabbath.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Because he is the Lord of the Sabbath.
Amen.
The Sabbath spoke of him. And he came to fulfill the Sabbath, not even to abolish it.
That's
he
right.
became our Sabbath.
Amen.
Amen.
And that is why all focus now is on him. So we also have the Sunday worship, for instance. Part of the custom, I must add this, the tradition, it's a tradition of the Christian faith, is that you will not see a Christian, neither even a Jew, worshiping any idol.
Amen.
Bowing to any images.
That's right. So it's not a Christian.
So it's not a Christian tradition. So part of our tradition is to reject idolatry.
Idol worship.
Idol worship.
In any form.
In any form.
Okay. So
you understand? That's why I said, you know, it's part of the tradition.
Okay.
It's part of the tradition that we don't bow before any images.
Okay, but I want you to, pardon me, Pastor. I want you to properly balance this particular statement you just made.
Yes.
Because, you know, for instance, in my own local church, we go and we bow at the altar. So I want to.
I said image.
Okay, image.
I said image. They don't image. Bow to any image. They don't bow to any human being.
Okay.
In
image
worship.
And human being.
In worship. Worship.
Okay.
In worship.
Okay.
Now that is different from the bowing that the Yoruba culture.
Okay.
You know, show respect to elders.
Okay. Or in worship to God.
You know, but talking in relation to worship to God.
Okay, sir.
You know, we don't bow to any. It's part of our
tradition.
And part of our tradition is also to dress properly.
Okay.
When we come to worship.
Yes, sir.
Place of worship. When we come together, you know, it's part of our tradition that we dress in a way that a man will not see a woman begin to lust after you because of
the way
kind
you
of
are dressed.
You dress.
Amen.
It's part of, you know, the tradition.
Tradition. Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
And it's our tradition also to hold prayer meetings.
Amen.
Regularly. Regular prayer meetings. So our tradition to worship, sing, and dance with all manner of instruments.
All manner of
instruments. All manner of instruments.
Yes, Pastor is very, very, very...
Without restriction.
Wow. Okay, because some people will not like
that's why I'm stressing.
The instruments we use in the nightclub, we can use them in the church too.
That's the problem people have. You know, that's the problem people have. You know, they've forgotten that it's not Satan that created
Amen.
Songs and,
Hallelujah.
And music.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You know, music is part of what angels were created to use music and worship.
Amen.
God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Now, it is the leader that went different, Satan, Lucifer.
Yes, sir.
When he decided to go rebellion, he was the song leader in heaven, at least by the way we see.
That's right.
He was, because if he was that archangel, and the purpose of the angels was just to worship
God.
And so he was the one. In fact, the Bible describes him that, you know, it's like it was a living
part. Instruments.
That's right.
Instruments were in him. Now that he rebelled and decided to use it wrongly. Does not now make it demonic.
Okay, so it's a perverted version.
It's nothing.
Just
it's
a perversion.
Music does not belong to nightclub.
Amen.
You know, they're perverted instead of coming to sing. It's just like the talent of singing. It's from God.
Amen.
Now you choose to use it either in the nightclub
or in the church.
Or song, even use it in a shrine.
That's true.
You can go to the shrine and be singing to demons. And the demons will be moving and things will be going on. Something that's supposed to be used in the
worship God.
So for anybody to say, because this instrument is used by one unbeliever somewhere, therefore, you know, it's because you don't know the origin and source of that of music.
Hallelujah.
It belongs to us.
Hallelujah.
They are copying us.
Amen. Amen. Pastor, thanks for that, sir. There's something I'd love to ask you that is very controversial in the entire message.
Yes.
Still on customs and traditions.
Yes.
Now, that's about air veiling. For the women.
Yes.
Because in our local church here, we veil our hair.
Yes.
It's one of our church order for women to veil their hair during worship. So, sir, is it just a church order or is it a Christian custom and tradition?
You see, this is one of the controversial
issues,
doctrines in the church, this last church age, this Pentecostal church age.
That's true.
It was never an issue in the first church age. Mm. And even when the restoration started with the Sardisian church age, it was never an issue. Because remember that they took it when Catholicism was formed.
That's right.
You know, through the marriage.
Yes, church and state.
Yes. You discovered that all Catholics cover.
Yes, sir.
That's true.
Where did they get that from? That is what they were doing before.
Of course.
You know, it was a tradition. And when Lutherans broke out and the other Protestant people broke out, everybody was covering head.
That's right.
It was when Pentecostalism came in that these things became an issue. You know, and I always say something here.
Yes, sir.
That if you look at it from the book of Acts, go through up to the book of Jude.
Yes, sir.
There is nothing there that requires interpretation, except, of course, what Apostle Paul spoke about,
the translation. That's right.
Okay.
The shout, the voice,
and the trump.
You need to understand what does he mean by that. Mm. Apart from that, I don't know which other one again. Mm. You know, there's nothing more that needs any interpretation. It is Apostle Paul and the other apostles setting the church in order.
Amen.
Amen.
So when Apostle Paul says a man praying or prophesying with his head covered, dishonoring his head. Now, what baffles me on a very serious note, you know, that is the only scripture you see that men sit in the church, even in private prayer.
That's right.
Let us pray. It will remove his cap.
That's true.
Amen.
That is the only scripture. If you remove your hair, then why is the woman, by the same scripture, not covering herself, her hair?
That's right. Amen. You know,
so, like I saw something somebody wrote somewhere, and I really loved it. You know, it's what is he saying, that the woman was bald when Apostle Paul was writing that?
Yeah, that's true.
Was the woman bald head when Apostle Paul was writing?
Yeah, on Facebook, somebody
because
wrote.
Another scripture says the hair is given to the woman for a covering, picking it out of context. Does not nature even teach
you?
So, if naturally you have hair already, the woman has longer hair than the man. So why do you need another commandment to her again?
That she should cover.
That she should cover.
That's right.
Then some want to say, is it the head or it is a hair? Yeah. That is, all those are funny, you know. So to me, and then made worse is the end time message believers who believe that William Branham is their standard.
Not the Bible.
Yes. So what did William Branham say? Okay, even if he didn't say anything in his church, were they covering him? You know. So they are looking at that. I said, do I need William Branham for what is already written?
Clearly written in the Bible.
And so you see, now Brother Moses, do you mean William Branham was wrong?
Are you correcting the prophet?
Are you correcting the prophet? No, you should rather ask, is the prophet correcting Paul? That is it.
Okay.
That's the question you should ask. You know, the prophet sent me to Paul. He said, go back to what Paul is teaching.
Hallelujah.
He didn't say, look, this is what I'm teaching. He said, go back to what Paul is teaching, because I have nothing new to tell you.
Amen.
The message I have from God is come back to the Bible.
Hallelujah.
And I found in the Bible that praying or prophesying, and remember, the emphasis is when praying or prophesying, and it is church order when we come together. If you read that thing very well, it's not talking about the woman driving her car somewhere, traveling somewhere, you are in the bathroom, you are praying, the spirit of prayer can come upon you. Or for any reason, there is need for you to pray wherever you are. No. He's talking about when we come together, church order.
Worship.
It is a tradition.
Hallelujah.
That when we come together, we distinguish the women from the men. Even by their dressing. Look at their hair. It tells you this woman is a woman under the authority of a man.
Hallelujah.
That is what the scripture
she's talking about.
Beautiful.
Okay, air covering, not bowing to idols, communion, feet washing, water baptism. Do you still have more for us, sir? Proper dressing, yes, and praying constantly.
And when we give birth to our children, we dedicate them.
Okay, so it's a Christian tradition.
It's a Christian tradition, not just children, but anything we have.
Must dedicate
like it's a property, a car, a house. We have a way of our tradition is to commit it unto the Lord, dedication.
Okay.
Amen.
And then it's part of the Christian tradition too, that marriage, you know, after all the traditional things have been concluded, that they come before the altar and exchange their vows.
Okay.
It is part of Christian tradition. And it's our tradition that if you will come to follow that tradition, then you don't take the woman home until you have come and exchanged that vow. Why I say so is that it is a tradition. It is not a commandment of the Lord. It is a tradition. So if you buy your car, and I don't know how many cars you have now, I don't know how many of them, you just decide to start using your car and you didn't come and dedicate it. You know, you have not sinned. Because it is tradition. It's not a commandment of God. It is what we inherited.
Okay.
And the reason is because the Bible teaches us that we should acknowledge God in all our ways. So our own way of acknowledging Him to say, oh, you gave me money, I've been able to have this car. Lord, protect it. These children belong to you and bring them back to you.
Amen.
So it's our tradition of acknowledging God. That is part of the Christian
tradition.
Wow.
Okay, sir. On that note, sir, just to properly clarify things.
Yes.
Are there some commandments that, because you said if you don't do this, it's not sin. And what about the importance of water baptism, Holy Communion, and situation?
No. Water baptism is a commandment.
Okay. So a commandment is also a tradition.
It has become, you know,
a tradition
by virtue of the commandments.
So we have both commandments and traditions,
so
that are
able,
also not commandments.
Yeah, because our leader is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And then He spoke to us these days also through the apostles.
Okay.
So the word that the apostles, you know, gave, they become commandments.
Commandments. Okay.
What about
like hair covering?
That's right.
Okay.
I was going to ask that.
So hair covering is a commandment.
It's a commandment.
Amen.
Yes.
Proper dressing is a commandment.
Yeah, proper dressing.
It's a commandment.
You know, so we should dress moderately.
Okay.
We should not dress like the world.
Okay, sir.
And he said the friendship of this world is enmity with God. So there are certain lifestyle that we take, you know, because by virtue of that commandment.
Okay.
Amen.
And so we should not be equally yoked with unbelievers.
That's right.
You know, we define that yoke, and then we begin to know the level of association with certain people.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay, we'll take a short break now. And when we come back, we'll still keep looking at this important discussion. Stay tuned and keep watching.